Okay, make sure you're in fellowship here as we continue on. In Genesis 43, verses 16 through 25, here dealing with verse 24, after the steward calmed the brothers down, and then made a very unique statement, to say the least, that has all kinds of doctrinal implications attached to it. But most of all, he went to belay the brothers' fear that somehow they're out to trap him in this regards. And he brings Simeon out, and this obviously is indication that just as the ruler said, that if they brought the brother back, Benjamin, then he would believe them in regards to not being spies, and Simeon represents that. And with him putting them at ease in this way, this then allows, obviously, for the whole scenario to continue to advance. As they are there at Joseph's residence in order to participate in a feast or lunch with them. So, point 76, where we left off, first session. The steward's word had its calming effect, and thus allowed the man to usher, quote, the men into Joseph's house, and gave them water, and they washed their feet. And he gave their donkeys fodder. He fed them. Haish Baith, Joseph, Wal Nathan, Nahum, Wal Rakatz, Regal, Wal Nathan, Mesopo, Lamed, Kamur. Verse 24. 77, he treats them with all the customary courtesy one would expect receiving guests, not someone whom otherwise has been tagged to be taken captive or something of that nature. We see all that you would expect for someone that has been invited in a hospitable way as a guest in regards to one's home. So 78, he provides them water to clean up after being on the road, and feed for their animals, eliminating any further distraction here, so to fully enjoy the hospitality offered. You invite people over. Obviously, if you're going to host the situation, you do what you can to make everyone comfortable and to be able to maximize their enjoyment and time and fellowship with one another. And here, the servant steps in, treats them like VIPs would be expected to be treated, feeds their animals for them, this to continue to put them at ease, to relax, and have no distractions otherwise. So 79, it was probably at this point they heard that the reason for the presence was, quote, to eat a meal, end quote, with the ruler. Quote, so, in light of that, they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon. Wow, kunha, minaka, present gift offering, adbo, Joseph, bet ha, tasa, harim, at the midday, verse 25. As we brought out, pointed out earlier, regards to these verses, originally they had no idea why they were being escorted to Joseph's residence. Here it is at this point that's most plausible to me, that after they unloaded on the steward with their fearful plea of innocence, that now you're just here to eat, to have lunch with this ruler. only the most powerful man in the world next to Pharaoh himself. So, in light of that, obviously they had the gift that they prepared beforehand. The honey, nuts, things of that nature for him so that they could present it to him. Obviously now at this point in time, no need to concern themselves with the silver that they had originally intended to present alongside or with the present, as they have been told that that is not an issue. So they gathered all the items, point 80, their father told them to bring on, as an offering to the ruler for a presentation to him. 81, having a gift on this occasion was completely apropos, inadequate, as they are being catered to by the second most powerful ruler of the land. That harks back to our original interpretation of Jacob being in fellowship when he told his sons to put together this gift. Thinking ahead, obviously it's a unique situation. They have to confront a person who is a ruler of the land, and it would be proper etiquette, an extension of grace, common courtesy, to provide him with a gift along those lines. And as it turns out to be, that's exactly what they would have done or should have done in order just to meet the etiquette standards. You've been invited over to a guest house. Did you bring a bottle of wine with you? You know, or whatever we may look at it in regards to our own customs and etiquette. And not that you have to each time. I'm not saying that. And I'm not trying to suggest that. I'm just bringing out common customs as they may be related to this particular situation. So all that works out perfectly according to divine design, according to a doctrinally astute and focused father in presentation of the gift. So 82 reminds us that, quote, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Man makes their plans with doctrine. God guides their feet, takes them down the right path, puts them in the right situation. And even though Jacob obviously didn't know exactly how all this would play out, neither did the brothers, but in that way, it worked out to be almost perfect for the occasion. And God's always behind the scenes. God is in complete control of circumstances, situations. Again, the doctrine that Jacob finally got a grip on again and overruling his sin fear regarding Benjamin, allowing him to go on this trip. And here we see God greasing their skids, as we might say, with respect to the present. 83, no matter how the brothers may have viewed as to the use of the present to help in their dilemma, it appears Jacob was blessed in his wisdom out of respect for authority. That was his doctrinal orientation. This guy is a ruler. It would be completely appropriate and probably expected to provide some type of hospitality gift to him. '84, while the reader is left with the sense that everything is now hunky-dory between Joseph and his brothers, as it may, the narrative may leave you hanging with that idea, we must not forget the true intentions behind this supposed, quote, peace, end quote. Peace to you. 85, that is to lull the brothers into a sense of complete exoneration, that everything's fine now, and the idea that everything is again, quote, right with the world, end quote. I put them off guard. That's the way to do it. lull people to a sense of false security, if you will, and then spring the trap. 86, it will be in that mood that, quote, Operation Silver Cup, end quote, in Genesis 44, will find its greatest sting and impact as Joseph sets up now their youngest brother, Benjamin, as a potential criminal engaged in a crime punishable, obviously, by death to the very thing, a very scenario, a worst-case scenario that the brothers could think of in terms of the trust their father has put in them, Judah included, of taking care of Benjamin. And Operation Silver Cup, I included in one of the notes earlier, I think is probably the meanest trick that Joseph pulled in this whole thing, in his revenge tactics. 87, all the events now of verses 16 through 25 took place in one morning on the day of the brothers' arrival to Egypt. So all we've been through is basically over a six-hour period or so, depending on what time they got up that morning. All right, moving on now, verses 26 through 31. And I've changed the title of these verses a little different from what you have on your notes. Joseph acknowledges Benjamin. The note says Joseph sees Benjamin. Well, he's already saw Benjamin. And while all this comes out, I just thought it was a little bit more accurate. He acknowledges him. He gives him attention. So let's look at the Hebrew here, verses 26 to 31. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand and bowed to the ground before him. While consecutive, our verb to come into, came into, is a cow imperfect, third master singer, bo, B-O. Proper noun, Joseph, the subject of the verb. Into the house, came home. Definite article, noun, comma, master, singer, absolute, bayith, for house, B-A-Y-I-T-H. Then you have the wow consecutive, not really brought out in English, then or and, as it may be translated. They brought, so we see a sequence of the events here that goes on. The Hebrew brings out that sequence. While consecutive followed the hifil form of the verb bo, B-O, imperfect third masculine plural, then they caused to bring, hence they brought, into the house or to him, is literally the Hebrew here preposition, lamed with the third masculine singer suffix, the present. Sign of a direct object to know what they brought. Definite article with our noun for gift, present, offering, common feminine singular absolute, Manica, M-I-N-E-C-H-A-H, which was in their hand, relative pronoun as share, A-S-H-E-R, and preposition bet, follow with our noun for hand, common feminine singular constructor, masculine plural suffix yad, Y-A-D. Then you have the phrase into the house, definite article, follow with the noun bayith, P-A-Y-I-T-H, common masculine singular absolute. And bowed to the ground before him, while consecutive. Then our verb for bowing here is a hithpael, which is reflexive. Imperfect third masculine plural, kawa. They bowed themselves, C-H-A-W-A-H. Before him is literally preposition lamed with third masculine singular suffix to the ground. It is your noun, comma, feminine singular, absolute, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Bow to the ground before him. It's literally bow before him to the ground in the Hebrew. Verse 27. Then he asked him about their welfare and said, "Is your old father well of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" So in a congenial type of mode, he engages in discourse with them, while consecutive, asked, "Is your cow in perfect third masculine singular, Sha'al, S-H-A-A-L, to inquire or ask of them," the preposition lamed. Then the preposition lamed is repeated, translated about here. Welfare is your Hebrew term for peace, common masculine singular, absolute, shalom, which has many nuances, obviously, in terms of it, about their wellness. Their physical state of affairs is kind of the idea here, with reference to welfare, is how you might literally translate that. And he said, while consecutive, our verb to say, Amar, A-M-A-R, cow, perfect third masculine singular. Then you have the interrogative particle, ha, H-A, is, question mark, or what, is the idea. Then shalom is repeated for wellness, comma, masculine singular, absolute, S-H-A-L-O-M. Your father, comma, masculine singular, constructed second masculine plural suffix, av, A-V. Then he calls him the old man, the old one. Definite article, adjective, masculine singular, absolute, zaken, ha, zaken, Z-A-Q-E-N. Of whom you spoke, obviously they had made reference to him, and as to age, etc., previously. Relative pronoun is share, of whom, A-S-H-E-R, you all spoke. Our verb amar again, A-M-A-R, cow perfect, second masculine plural. Then the second question, is he still alive? Interrogative particle ha, repeated, is with question mark there. Still is your adverb with the third masculine singular suffix, ode, O-D. Is he still been alive or living? Adjective, masculine, singular, absolute, K, C-H-A-Y. And they said, "Your father, your servant, our father as well. He is still alive." You have the wow consecutive with the cow and perfect third masculine singular, Amar, A-M-A-R. And they said, then well is our noun shalom again, S-H-A-L-O-M, common masculine singular, absolute. Then he refers to their father as your servant. It is well for your servant. Preposition lamed, followed with the noun, common masculine singular, struct, second masculine singular suffix, aved, E-D-E-D. Then you have the preposition lamed, followed with our noun for av, with the first common plural suffix, in regards to our father, is a literal translation, A-B, av. And then he is still living, still alive, adverb ode, with the third masculine singular suffix, he, O-D, he is still. Then the adjective K, repeated, masculine singular. And then we see them genuflect again, and they bowed down in homage. And what you have here in the Hebrew is vowel consecutive. And first of all, you have the cow verb, imperfect third masculine plural, kadad, Q-A-D-A-D. Literally, this means to bow the head. So there's two actions associated with their bowing here. To bow the head. And they bow their heads. And then you have the wow consecutive and our verb to bow down, the hith pile, reflection again, imperfect third masculine singular, here in the kathib variants of the text, kawah, C-H-A-W-A-H. You have a slight textual variance here. Homage is really not in the Hebrew. They bowed their heads, they bowed down. Bowed themselves down is how you, literal Hebrew. In our last verb to bow down, you have two potential textual variations. What is written is what they say the original text they believe originally had, which was the verb in the singular. He bowed down here, obviously, is a collective singular with reference to these men. And then what is read, that's a translator in the mind or thinking, well, what is really man is they, and hence they put it in the plural. So you have that slight variation. But here it does make somewhat of a difference in regards to understanding fully what they're doing. And we'll deal with that in the notes. And in verse 29, now as he lifted his eyes, that he here, the pronoun is Joseph. You got to keep up with your pronouns here, or the subjects of the verbs. And saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. While consecutive, to lift up is your cow in perfect third masculine singular, Nasa, N-A-S-A. His eyes, common both dual constructor, masculine singular suffix, ayin, A-Y-I-N. And saw, while consecutive, in our verb to see, ra'ah, cow in perfect third masculine singular, R-A-A-H. Sign of direct object, to know what he saw, proper noun, Benjamin, his brother, or noun for brother, with the third masculine singular suffix, common feminine singular construct, ach, A-C-H. The son of his mother, son is your common masculine singular construct, ben, B-E-N. Mother is your common feminine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, M-E-M. And he said, literally, while consecutive, amar, cal, imperfect third masculine singular verb, A-M-A-R. Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? You have the interrogative particle again, ha, H-I-A, introducing the question, is, question mark, this is the adjective ze, masculine singer, Z-E-H. Brother is a common masculine singer, struck ach, which, that should have been a masculine too. With the second masculine plural suffix, the noun ach, A-C-H. The previous one up here, I had a feminine, should have been masculine. Right there. But anyway, I know they just tore you up probably, didn't it? I caught him. Your brother, the youngest. Definite article, adjective masculine singer, absolute, kathon. Q-A-T-H-O-N. Then the relative pronoun is share, of whom, A-S-H-E-R. You spoke, you all spoke, cal, perfect, second masculine plural, amar, A-M-A-R, to me, preposition L with the first common singular suffix, E-L. And then he does another unusual move here. He puts a blessing on Benjamin. And he said, while consecutive, Amar, the same construct as earlier, cal, imperfect third masculine singular, A-M-A-R. Again, he appeals to God, Elohim, common masculine plural, absolute, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. God, may he be gracious to you, literally, my son, would be the literal Hebrew. To be gracious is a cow perfect third masculine singular here with the Jesse force, second masculine singular suffix, hence may or might he be gracious to you, Canaan, C-H-A-N-A-N, my son, now Ben, B-E-N, with the first common singular suffix. But this has impact on Joseph emotionally, and Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother, and he sought a place to weep or cry. Well, consecutive, our verb to hurry out or hastened, if you want to translate it that way, is the PL verb, imperfect third masculine singer, mahar, M-A-H-A-R, Joseph, proper noun. The reason why he hurried, because, is a conjunction key, K-I-Y. Deeply stirred. You have first the verb, nifal, perfect, which is passive. Third common plural, kamar, K-A-M-A-R. Literally means to grow warm. To grow warm. Hebrew is a very colorful language. We would say was emotionally stirred. The blood kind of rose to his face, that kind of physical effect. Obviously, emotionally, he became stirred, as you seven times. He grew warm with his compassions, is your literal translation. Compassions, or deeply stirred. You have the common masculine plural noun, construct third masculine singer suffix, racha, meme. R-A-C-H-A-M-I-Y-M. Grew warm with his compassions. Deeply stirred, to say the least. Towards his brother, preposition L-E-L, follow with our noun, again, brother, common masculine singer, third masculine singer suffix, ach, A-C-H. And he sought a place, looked for a place to cry or weep. Well, consecutive, our verb is to seek. Verb, P-L, imperfect third masculine singer, bakash, B-A-Q-A-S-H. Sought for weeping, literally in the Hebrew, preposition lamed, followed with a kal, infinity verb, construct here, baka, to cry or weep, B-A-K-A-H. And he entered his chamber and wept there. While consecutive, entered is your verb, bo, went into, kal, imperfect third masculine singer, B-O. Then chamber is a definite article, with the common masculine singer noun, cheder, C-H-E-D-E-R, an inward chamber or an inward room. And he wept there. That's where he cried. Wow, consecutive, kal, perfect third masculine singer, bakal, repeated, B-A-K-A-H. There is the adverb sham, S-H-A-M. Verse 31, then he washed his face and came out and controlled himself and said, serve the meal. While consecutive, our verb to wash is a kal, imperfect third masculine singer, rakats, R-A-C-H-A-T-S. Face is your common both plural noun, construct with the third masculine singer suffix, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. And came out or went out. While consecutive, our verb yatsa, Y-A-T-S-A, kal, imperfect third masculine singer. And he controlled himself, is your wow consecutive with the hith pile, again reflexive, the imperfect third masculine singer, our verb afen, A-P-H-E-N, literally means to hold or restrain, hence controlled. And he said, serve the meal, wow consecutive, verb amar, A-M-A-R, kal imperfect third masculine singer, serve is your kal imperative masculine plural verb seem, S-I-Y-N, to place, put, serve, meal or food, literally bread, common masculine singer, absolute noun, lechem, L-E-C-H-E-M. All right, rereading six verses here. 26, when Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand and bowed to the ground before him. Verse 27, then he asked him about their welfare and said, "Is your old father well of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" Verse 28, they said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed down in homage, or they bowed their heads and bowed down. Verse 29, as he lifted his eyes, Joseph being the one lifting, and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, he said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me?" Of course, he knows it is, but anyway. And he said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." Verse 30, and Joseph hurried out, for he was grew warm with his compassion, was deeply stirred over his brother, and he sought a place to weep, and he entered his inner chamber and wept there. Verse 31, then he washed his face, he went out, he restrained himself or controlled himself and said, "Serve the meal." Analysis of verses 26 through 31. One, with fears tentatively calmed as to their required presence at the ruler's house, the brothers here await now in preparation for his arrival. They've been informed. That's why they're there. The ruler's coming home. He's going to serve a meal. So they do what they can in the interim to be prepared so they're not looking like a bunch of bungling idiots tripping over themselves trying to present this offering to them to look like they got their act together, of which they do. So, two, after taking care of his busier responsibilities for the morning, quote, Joseph then came home, Bo Joseph Ha Ba'ith, end quote. Obviously, he had a lot of responsibilities. He had those under his command, obviously, etc. This does not necessarily mean that he sit there and conducted every transaction personally, but he oversaw it and made sure that everybody was operating according to his design schedule and agenda and method of operation, MO, in regards to providing this food. So three, so he had obviously his typical busy morning at work. And after that was done, he came home for lunch. Three, upon his arrival, his brothers, quote, brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand and bowed to the ground before him. Ba'ol Amid Ha Minika Asher Bet Yad Ha Ba'ith Wa Kawa Lamed Eretz. Four, now there is no indication here that Joseph even acknowledges their gift, coloring him as being cool and aloof. Walks in, they provide him this gift. He acts as if that would be expected. Yeah, you don't see any, thank you, or anything like that. So all this is designed. He wants to present himself in a certain way. And obviously, he wants to maintain his decorum as being important, etc., and to keep his emotions at bay. As obviously we see in the verses, he's not quite successful with. But to begin with, he comes off as being aloof, and hence very important. So five, he maintains a business posture in order not to give himself away as to the emotions that obviously were present. Sometimes when emotions are trying to crowd you out, you can take on a different demeanor, physical tact to help you control emotions. It's kind of what we have here. He wants to make sure that he does keep them under control, at least in front of his guests. So six, the brothers all otherwise follow protocol here, bowing in obeisance to their host in a courteous fashion. So the first bowing is one that you would normally expect. Second only in power to Pharaoh. And they're at his house based on his invitation. And in the custom of that land, it was more than a handshake or a salute. It meant the courteous and the appropriate acknowledgement would be bowing down to the ruler. Obviously, in our society, in our customs, this seems so foreign anymore. But it shows complete and total respect of a person who has complete authoritarian rule in regards to the land, as one would bow down to a king. Where kings and things of that nature continue to exist, you still have this type of custom that you see followed by the citizenry of the country. So the brothers here follow protocol in the first bowing, showing their subservience to this ruler in a courteous fashion. Seven, he, Joseph, then engages them in discourse, remnant of their previous trip. He draws off conversation from their first trip, and he asks them about their welfare, and said, "Is your old father well of whom you spoke? Is he still alive? Sha'al, Lamed, Lamed, Shalom, Wow, Amar, Ha, Shalom, Ad, Hazakin, Sher, Amar, Ha, Od, K." Verse 27. 8. Now his first inquiry as to their personal welfare attends to further put them at ease in his presence. Obviously, they still probably on somewhat edge. While they may have the physical trepidation under control, still, they've still got to deal with this ruler, and he has not left them with good memories, I'll put it politely, in regards to their first trip. So, obviously, the first thing he does, he asks them, "How you doing? You been all right?" And that is to disarm them, further disarm them in regards to any continued fear that may be lingering or they're harboring in the situation. So 9, now his second and third questions about the father as to the well-being of Jacob in his life. It's designed to maintain their ease, engaging at a more intimate level. So a little tact, a little verbal tact he uses here. How you been doing? That kind of, he's being courteous. He's been polite to us. And then in a more intimate, how's your dad doing? How's your old man doing? Is he still doing all right? And that would, obviously, if following the plan, put them even at more ease. Well, he seems to show some concern, some compassion here, real compassion. But, as we know, to end all this, to lull them to a state of repose, removing any apprehension. He's trying to get them, disarm them to the best of his ability, to put them in a state of mind that when he springs this silver cup thing on them, it's going to really knock them for a real loop. That's his plan. Beware of the smiling face. You never know what's going on in people's minds. Even with a positive adjusted believer such as Joseph. 11, now further, Joseph's questioning about Jacob has personal incentive. 12, the brothers had informed Joseph that their father was elderly. In 44, we find that in chapter 44, where some blanks are filled in for us in a previous conversation, 20. So naturally, Joseph would want to know that he was still alive since their last appearance. Obviously, he would assume so based on the dream. But he's double-checking here. In 44:20, in that section, we've already picked up on this. Additional words were said between the parties. And as Judah will approach Joseph after the silver cup has been discovered in conversation. And we said to my Lord, we have an old father and a little child of his old age. And they're going on to explain what it means if anything bad happens to Benjamin with respect to their father. Now his brother is dead. That's reference to Joseph. So he alone is left with his mother, and his father loves him. The only two children out of Rachel, the line of Rachel, his blood brother. So the brothers had informed Joseph that the father was elderly, so he knew his old man is not being disrespectful, their elderly father is the idea. So naturally Joseph wants to know that he's still alive since their last appearance. 13, the brothers affirmed that he is okay. Then in verse 28, and they said, your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive. Well, Amar, Shalom, Lamed, Aved, Lamed, Ab, Od, K. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God's Holy Spirit to continue to light and see things. In Jesus' name, amen.